Hallelujah. Aren't you glad there's a lamb? Amen. Take your Bible and go to Acts chapter number 11. Acts chapter number 11. Been preaching some on Wednesday nights on making a difference. And we've talked about several things that make a difference. That's our job as a church, as a local body of believers, is to make a difference in this world in which we live. And by the way, just look up here if you done found Acts chapter number 11. We're supposed to make it better, amen, not make it worse. Amen? There's some Christians I get around, I feel worse for having been around them for a little bit. Amen? You talk to some people for a few minutes and you want to commit suicide. Amen? Or kill them, one of the two. Amen? But we really are supposed to make a difference in the lives of people. And my prayer, I meet a lot of pastors and talk to a lot of people. A lot of people are proud of their buildings. They're proud of their numbers. They're proud of all this kind of stuff. And, you know, I hope if we can be remembered for one thing is that what we put our emphasis in is people. Amen? And not all the stuff. Thank God for a nice building. Amen? And I'd just rather have people than nice building. Thank God he gave us both. Amen? But our emphasis is not on property and how much money we've got in the bank. Our emphasis is on people. Amen? Acts chapter number 11, we're going to look at a guy tonight who I believe made a difference. And tonight I want to preach on this little thought or teach. Encouragement makes a difference. Encouragement makes a difference. I want to introduce you to a fellow tonight by the name of Barnabas. And we're going to talk about him just a little bit. Acts chapter number 11 and verse number 19. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
The Bible said, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them." I like that right there, don't you? Boy, that ought to be our prayer every time the buses roll out, every time we walk into a Sunday school class, every time we step in a pulpit or hand out a gospel tract, that the Lord, the hand of the Lord be with us. Amen? Reminds me of that scripture, if God be for us, who can be against us? And if the hand of the Lord is with you or upon you, buddy, he's got your back. Amen? So more than knowledge, I want power. Thank God for knowledge. That's not an excuse not to learn. We ought to learn. We ought to study. Show ourselves approved. Amen? We ought to study the Bible. We ought to study the book. But that's not the principal thing. The Bible said wisdom's the principal thing. You know what wisdom is? It's knowledge. Amen. Seriously, we ought to thank God that the hand of the Lord is with us. Amen. Listen, I'm going to tell you, the other Sunday when Levi's neighbor, when he got saved a couple weeks ago, brother, that wasn't my gift and it wasn't your gift. That was the presence and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That brought somebody, this guy, I don't think he'd mind me telling it one day. I hope he's able to do it. Man, he was a Wiccan. Y'all know what Wicca is? It's witchcraft, man. He practiced that stuff, man. And he's telling me some stories that's pretty crazy stuff, man. I'm telling you, the devil did not want that young man to get saved. But man, I'm glad the hand of the Lord was with us. Amen. I got to get off of there. I'm going to run a rabbit. Amen. The Bible said, "And a great number believed and turned unto the Lord." There again, it's because the Lord was with them. "Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. For when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." Let's pray. Father, as we come to you this evening, God, we thank you, Lord, for a good day. Lord, we thank you for your mercy and for your grace. And Lord, we just sure want to thank you for the beautiful sunshine, Lord. It sure has been nice and pleasant outside, and we just want to be thankful for that tonight, God. And Lord, thank you for your word, God, and allowing us to read a little portion tonight. Now, God, I pray you'd open it up to our minds and our hearts, Lord, that it might make a difference in us, that we might make a difference in others. Lord, most of all, you get honor and glory, and we'll thank you, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Keep your place in Acts chapter number 11, but back up a few pages to Acts chapter number 4. Acts chapter number 4, we'll look at a verse of scripture here. Listen, everybody usually has at least two names. Everybody usually has at least two names. You've got the name that you were born with and that your friends and your loved ones call you. And then you've got a name that kind of describes how you're known to your peers. That's usually not the name they call you to your face. That's usually the name they'll call you behind your back. Somebody say amen right there.
Amen.
Our character and our lives tell something about who we are and what we are. Amen. If you're a grouch all the time, people say, hey, you know so-and-so? Yeah, she's a grouch or he's a grouch. Amen. You know, Brother Tommy Talent, we was over at Brother Shea's the other night, and Brother Tommy was in the choir, and he just got to worship in the Lord. And I remember all my life growing up around Brother Tommy. If somebody said, describe Tommy Talent to me, I'd just say happy. Yeah. Happiest man I ever met in my life. Never seen him have a bad, and I'm sure he does have bad days, but he's always got a smile on his face. He's always worshiping the Lord. You know what I'm saying? So that speaks something about his life. Now, this guy Barnabas, I want you to look in Acts chapter number 4 and verse number 36. The Bible says, and Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which being interpreted is the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus. And the Bible said, and Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which being interpreted is son of consolation. You know what that is? That's somebody who gives comfort. Now, this was what the apostles named him. They got to hanging around. You know, when I was little, we all had nicknames. You know, people would call you something, you know, and usually if you were fat, you got a pretty bad nickname or you know, something. If you had, there's a boy in high school I went to high school with, and I won't say his first name, but we called him Green Teeth. I mean, brother, he didn't brush his teeth, and he had green teeth, and that's what everybody called him by his first name and then Green Teeth. And I don't want that nickname. How about you? Amen. And I sure don't want to have close conversation with a guy. Amen. But these guys got to thinking about old Barnabas and said, man, we're just going to call him the son of consolation. Man, this guy is a blessing to be around. This guy is, if you know anybody like that, I mean, you just feel like you can be having the worst day in the world, and you get around them a little bit, and you feel better for having been around them. Amen. Hey, listen, we're in a day of discouragement. Man, people are discouraged. Brother Dennis told me before church, he said, after church tonight, I want to give you something to read before you go to bed, and then you can cry yourself to sleep. I said, thanks, brother. He never gives me anything encouraging or happy. It's always something bad, wants to make you mad, you know. But we live in that kind of world. I said that, and Sister Linda chimed in. She said, I don't even watch the news. It's so depressing. We live in a depressing. Brother Bo told me right before I preached tonight, he said, Brother Eddie, I don't know if you heard, but they had another shooting at Fort Hood today in Texas, and the shooter is still on the loose. I'm telling you, everywhere we turn, everywhere we look, it's bad. Amen? Hey, listen, sometimes we come to church, man, we've been dealing with that junk out there. It sure would be good. Now, listen, I ain't talking about all we're going to do is preach warm, fuzzy kind of stuff, but I'm saying every now and then we ought to come to church and think, boy, thank God, I feel better for having got around God's people for a little while. Amen. Amen. There's some churches that there is so much drama going on that you leave church and feel worse after going to church than you did before you got there. Amen. I had a fellow tell me just the other day, he said, Brother Eddie, I'll be honest with you. He said, there is so much drama and talk and all this going on at my church. He said, I know where I'm supposed to be. He said, but it just kills me to go. Yeah. I thought, man, I don't want our church to be like that. I don't want people to have to get ready for church and dread going there because it's going to be a bunch of bad stuff when you get there. Hey, listen, the only reason that ain't here is by the grace of God and the hand of the Lord being with us. Amen. And we're going to pray that God would just keep that thing going just like it has been for years and years and years and years. Amen.
That word console means to comfort, to encourage, or to edify. It means to comfort, to encourage, or to edify. You know what edify means? Some people around the country that listen to me preach, and Brother Barry Ferguson started this. He said they've been edified. Amen. That ain't what it means. Amen. To be edified don't mean you're a follower of Eddie White. Don't listen to nothing Barry Ferguson says. Amen. But it means to be lifted up. It means to be lifted up. Hey, we ought to have a ministry of edification. Hey, listen, you know what the Lord said? If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Hey, well, I tell you a good way. You ain't got to just pump everybody up all the time. But I tell you what you can do. You can pump Jesus up all the time. And boy, if we'll lift him up, he'll draw men unto him, and then he'll lift them up. Amen. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry from the waters, lifted me. Now say, am I? That's about as edified as you can get, man. When you get picked up out of your sin and out of your junk, man, the Lord. Listen, what I'm saying is if we'll just magnify the Lord, the psalmist said, come, let us magnify his name together. We ought to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. Amen. Amen. To edify, to encourage. Hey, listen, we've got leaders in our church that need encouraging. That need encouraging. Hey, man, the devil will jump on your back. I have some of these guys preach for me when I'm out of town, and 9 times out of 10, I guarantee I'll call Brother Freddie. How'd it go? Oh, you don't want to know. That's the devil jumping on his back telling him he made a mess. It wouldn't hurt for somebody to pat him on the back and say, hey, regardless what you think, you did all right. Amen. Amen. When Levi and Brother William just preached the other night, I mean, boy, if God done something for you through the preaching, you ought to tell them. Say, hey, man, that was a blessing to me. Do you know there's nothing a preacher loves more, than to hear that what he had to say was a help. Amen. Even sometimes when you preach hard and you beat yourself up, I do, man. I shouldn't have said this. I shouldn't have said that. And it never fails. Somebody will stop you at the door and say, bro, that's exactly what I needed to hear. I needed that. Thank you. So, bro, that's encouraging. Amen. It make you want to do it again. Amen. I was involved in my very first foot washing service years ago at White Oak Springs. How many of you ever been in old-fashioned foot washing? Amen. A few of you. Some of you are looking at me like, what in the world is he talking about? Amen. I was about to give up my Sunday school class. I'll never forget it. I done made up my mind. My shoes ain't coming off. I'll sit here and watch everybody else. I ain't washing nobody's feet and ain't nobody washing mine. I was thinking, just like some of y'all, that's crazy. I'll be honest with you, it's one of the sweetest things I've ever done in my life. But I was sitting on that front row. As soon as church was over, Brother Junior Bearden was our Sunday school superintendent. I was going to Brother Junior and tell him I was giving up my teenage Sunday school class because I wasn't helping them kids one bit. I'll never forget, as long as I live, I was ready to throw in the towel, ready to quit. Micah Williams, one of our teenagers, who pastors now in New Freedom Baptist Church down here in Yorkville, he's just a boy. He walked up to that front row, big old tears running down his face, and he had a towel and a pan of water. He said, Brother Eddie, I want to wash your feet. Amen. I couldn't tell that kid no. I kicked my shoes off, and that young'un started washing my feet, and I see his tears dripping on my feet. And the whole time he's washing my feet, he's telling me what a blessing I've been in his life. And how he's made it as a teenager and kept his nose clean and done right because he could depend on me to be in that Sunday school class every Sunday. You think I resigned that class after that? Shoot, no, man. I'm telling you, that made a difference. Listen, when we encourage people, it makes a difference in them. Amen. I want to encourage those whose job it is to encourage me. Does that make sense? I want to encourage those whose job it is to encourage me. So let's talk just for a few minutes about how encouragement makes a difference. I told you that word means to comfort, to encourage, or to edify. Listen, Hebrews tells us to exhort one another daily. And he goes on and says, so much more as you see the day approaching. Man, we need to get behind one another like we never have. Say, hey, you're doing a good job. Hey, I got you back. Hey, I'm praying for you. Amen. I come in tonight. Brother Allen had texted me today Alan said, I'm not going to make it tonight, but Casey is preaching to our young people. I walked in, Casey was sitting up here playing the bass. I said, Casey, I thought you was preaching to the young people. He said, I am. I said, well, buddy, I've been praying for you. I said, you let her rip. You know, that may not make a difference in his message tonight, but I wanted him to know, hey, I'm glad you're getting to preach, son, and I'm behind you. Amen. I did fuss at his mama when she went out. I said, hey, you ain't no teenager. Amen. She's going to hear her boy preach. Amen. But I just wanted him to know. Brother William, I believe, you tell me if I'm wrong now, but I believe last Wednesday night, just before church time, I sent Brother William a text. I said, let her rip, Tater Chip, something like that. I'm praying for you. Hey, I want these guys to know, man, I'm in your corner. I got your back. You're not just filling a blank spot here. I've got confidence in you. If I put you in this pulpit, especially when I'm out of town, that means I trust you. Amen? And that I want to encourage you to do whatever job it is that you have to do. Amen? Listen, let's look at a couple of things right quick, and we'll go to the house tonight. I want you to notice the place of encouragement, the place where Barnabas was an encouragement. It was in Antioch. Now, you got to listen to me very carefully. This wasn't the most popular day in the world to be a Christian. This wasn't the most popular today. Hey, this wasn't a thing when you went home and told your family, hey, I got born again. They didn't rejoice. They said, you did what? You did what? I mean, brother, it wasn't a popular thing. Listen, the Bible said they were scattered abroad in Acts chapter number 11. They were scattered. They were persecuted and scattered. Listen, man, we may hit that day again where we're persecuted and scattered. Amen? I pray we never do. I pray the rapture takes place before a big persecution comes on the church. But I'll just be honest with you, it wouldn't surprise me if we don't have to endure a few things. Amen. I'm telling you, it would not surprise me. Our government keeps going the way it's going. We're going to have to endure some things. There's already things that they've made illegal and considered hate crimes that I can say from the pulpit that they could press charges on me if they wanted to. There are people lobbying right now to take away our tax exemption. I mean, the church is under persecution whether we realize it or not. But one of these days, that thing's not just going to be in some closed room in Washington, D.C. It's going to be on our doorsteps. Amen. Listen, we need to learn to encourage one another. Amen? People are going through it. I mean, by the half acre, people are going through it. I hear every single day of something bad. Every single day, I hear some bit of bad news that is going on, not in some lost person's life, but in the life of God's children. People are hurting, man. Sister Michelle, man, I don't know how close she is to her mom, but I guarantee she loves her mother. You know, that's one of the hardest things you can do in this whole world is sit and watch a loved one pass away, waiting on that last breath, not knowing if it's today, tomorrow, the next day. Brother, that's some hard stuff. Sister Christy just buried her big sister this past week. Thank God her daddy got saved. Boy, ain't that good, man. What a blessing. Got baptized at White Oaks Sunday night. That man, they've been witnessing to that man for as long as I've been alive, as long as I can remember. And old Eddie Camp got saved. But you know what? During that time, buddy, people need to be encouraged. They need to say, hey, somebody needs to say, hey, I've been praying for you. The Lord's with you. The Lord will help you through this. Just trust in the Lord. Man, we need that kind of stuff. Amen. Amen. I can't stand to be at a hospital. Or a funeral home, especially where somebody died questionably. Like maybe took their life. Amen. Something of that nature. And some idiot walk up and put their arm around some of the family and say, tell me what happened. They're dead. That's what happened. Y'all all right? That's not encouraging. Amen. And you're not interested in helping if all you want to know is gory details. Amen. Y'all okay? That's not encouraging for them to have to rehearse that again. Amen. I don't ask because it don't make a difference. Amen. Let me say it again. I do not ask. I don't even bring it up. I've preached suicide funerals. The only way I bring it up is if the family has that big question, if somebody commits suicide, if they're saved, do they still go to heaven? So I'll address that thing from the pulpit and say, hey, you rest assured they're in glory if they're saved. Amen? Well, what I'm trying to say, man, is people are having it tough. People are going through a hard time. And I love you goes a long way. And I'm praying for you goes a long way. I hadn't gotten one in years, but used to Sister Diane Camp. Boy, it's good to hear her shout in church Sunday morning. Amen. Startle some of our visitors, if nothing else. Amen. I like it. Amen. Let's people kind of know where we stand. Amen. But man, she's shouting over her brother-in-law. No telling. She's been praying for that man for years and years and years. Amen. But anyway, she used to send out cards. Y'all, anybody remember getting a card? Miss Diane used to send out cards in the mail, and it wouldn't be a birthday card. It'd just be an encouragement card. She'd say, "Boy, I'm praying for you. I appreciate you." Blah blah. And man, that used to mean the world to me to get one of them little cards in the mail. Amen. You know what that is? It's encouraging. It makes you want to go on. It makes you want to keep on. It makes you want to do it again. Because I promise you, the devil will try to tell you you're making a mess. Why are you wasting your time? They'd be better off without you. Blah, 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 blah. That goes right back to that message from Brother Shea Sunday night and here a couple of weeks ago. Ain't nothing but a bunch of trash talk. Yeah. Amen. Amen. But we need to hear some truth talk, not just from the Bible, but from one another. Amen. We ought to encourage one another. Amen. Would you agree with that? There was the scattering of the persecuted church. There was the salvations of the pagans, man. Verse 20 and 21, but there's people outside the Jews starting to get saved. Amen. How about that, boy? Y'all ought to shout right there, brother. You better be glad it wasn't to the Jew only, but also the Greek. Amen. Thank God this old Gentile vine got grafted in there. Hallelujah, boy. Thanks be unto God. What a blessing, man. Well, let's look at this thing just for a few minutes tonight, and I want you to notice the person of encouragement. We looked at the place of encouragement. It was a place and a time of trouble, a place and a time of being hard to be a Christian. But I want you to look at the person of encouragement. This man by the name of Barnabas. This man, I preached on this this man before and this passage before. But boy, if I could be like any of the Bible, no, I think about Paul. Boy, I'd like to be a preacher like Paul. Wouldn't that be something? I'd love to have that kind of speech. And every time I hear Brother Randy Pike, we've supported Brother Randy ever since I've been here, and will as long as I am here, and he's living. If he dies, we'll support Miss Adine. Amen. But every time I hear Brother Randy preach, Brother Freddie, I don't know why, but it makes me think of that would be what Paul would sound like. Did you ever thought that? Every time I hear Brother Randy, I think, boy, I bet you the Apostle Paul is sitting in glory going, if I was going to preach, that's the way I'd do it right there. Amen. Amen. If I was the one doing the preaching, I'd do it like old Brother Randy. Amen. I've always wanted to have that kind of presentation. Brother Randy has a radio DJ. He was a disc jockey. He has that voice, man. You can't help but listen to him. He's got a voice for radio. I've got a face for radio. Amen. Amen. But I'd love to have that kind of power when I preach. I'd love to have that kind of power like Peter had. But really, if I could be like anybody in the Bible, in the New Testament, I'd love to be like Barnabas. I'd love for the world around me, not for me to name myself the son of consolation, but I'd love for people around me to say, hey, that guy is an encouragement. That guy, man, I feel better. Every time I get around him, I feel a little bit better. He always has something positive to say. And listen, there again, I ain't talking Joel Osteen garbage. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to tell you how wonderful you are if your eyeballs is bloodshot from smoking weed and all that stuff. I ain't going to tell you what a blessing you are. Amen. We're going to preach against sin, but I want to be an encouragement to you as you battle the junk. Amen. Amen. Brother Jason has to deal with these folks in RU, boy, and he's doing an excellent job, and I appreciate it. But, boy, sometimes you just want to snatch people up. You know, you just really. But, boy, when they're messing up, they know they're messing up. But that's when they need an arm put around them going, come on, man, you can do better. Yeah. Amen. I'm reminded of that song the kids sing over and over again. He picks me up, wipes off my sin, puts me on my feet again. Isn't that what the Lord does? Every time we make a mistake, every time we fail, He picks us up time and time and time and time again. Amen. I want to be that kind of guy. Listen, in verse number 23, look at it back at Acts chapter number 11. Look at verse number 23. The Bible said, who when he came, talking about Barnabas, and had seen the grace of God, was what?
Glad.
Glad. Barnabas was a glad man. When he arrived on the scene in Antioch, he did not greet the new movement among the Gentiles with skepticism, pessimism, jealousy, or doubt. He was glad for their conversion. Did you know everybody wasn't glad about these people getting saved? Everybody wasn't happy that this Gentile was being reached. Amen? But Barnabas saw it. They said, hey, Barnabas, what do you think about this crowd over here getting saved? Woo, hallelujah, he said. He was glad, man. Hey, there's a time that we ought to be glad as Christians. Hey, you don't know Levi's neighbor. His name is William. You may not know him. You may not have ever met him. But we ought to be glad the man got born again. Amen. Let me say it again. You ought to be glad the man got born again. It kills me what makes some Christians happy. And what makes some churches happy. Crowds ain't what makes me happy. Thank God for a crowd. This place is packed out every Sunday. Now, I mean, but we need to build, we need something. But anyway, it's packed out every single week. And that is encouraging. But boy, it would be discouraging if I had the crowd week after week after week and nobody got any help. Amen. But I love it when I pull in the park. I'll never forget some months back, I pulled in the parking lot, and right there in my parking space, right in front of that, is where the buses pull under the awning and unload. And right out on the other side, they got off the bus on this side, but Miss Donna, Brother Clint, I don't know where she's at, but Miss Donna was on the other side of the bus, and I thought they were looking for something on the ground. And I got to looking, and they wasn't looking for something on the ground. They got down on the ground to look for something up yonder. Amen. And Miss Donna had her arm around this little old girl, and she was getting saved right there. Woo, boy, I was ready to have church, man. I don't know who that little girl was. Couldn't tell you her name right now. But, buddy, that encouraged a fire out of me. Amen. Amen. Barnabas was glad. Well, we ought to be glad when we hear of the hand of God working and moving. Some people, all they want to talk about is church trouble. Amen. If I had a Facebook, and I don't, because I'm against it. Amen. I am. Boy, it got quiet on me there. Hey, some of you use it, and you use it right. But I'm about fed up with all the damage it does. Amen. If I had a Facebook, I could get on Facebook and talk about Levi's neighbor being a Wiccan and practicing witchcraft and getting born again, and I might get a few, amen, brother, praise the Lord, I might get a few of those. But if I had a Facebook and I put on that Facebook, well, somebody in the bus ministry molested one of our children, that thing, what they all call it, it'd go viral. Amen. Are you listening? Man, that thing would go wide open. If I put some kind of horrible news on there, that thing would get more hits. It'd be like boom, 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 boom. Hey, man, that ought not to be the junk that makes us glad. What ought to make us glad and get us a little vocal is the good things that God's doing. And by the way, God is doing some good things. Amen. The devil wants to magnify everything that's wrong. Our job is to magnify what's right. Jesus is right. This Bible is right. Amen. Amen. That old song book is right, and we're going to stick with it. Amen. Seeing people saved is right, and we ought to rejoice and be glad when God is doing so. Hey, whether it's your ministry or not. Amen. Boy, I'm praying. Half of me, I'd like to go out there and hear old Casey tonight. Encourage him. Cheer him on. Amen. Boy, one of them kids gets saved tonight, hey, Casey ain't going to be no happier than I am. Amen. If Brother Swafford calls me in the morning from Fullerville and said we had 40 saved last night, man, I'm going to shout her out, man. Amen. Amen. Barnabas was a man who was glad. We ought to have a gladness about us. Amen. Listen, the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 26, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Amen. You know what we're supposed to do? We suffer with each other. We go to the funeral home. We cry with each other. And boy, when God comes in and does something special, we ought to rejoice with one another. Amen. We ought to just have a fit and be glad together. I was thinking about a fella. I got to be careful. I was thinking about a guy who, I'm trying to think of how to word this without saying who it was. There's a friend of mine that used to, if anybody got something new, if any other of the men in the church got something new, he'd have one tomorrow. Amen. Oh, yeah. He'd go borrow money that he couldn't afford to pay back. If you got a new truck and it had cloth interior, he's going to come by your house tomorrow with a new truck with a leather interior. Yeah. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It just couldn't be glad for anybody else. We get the idea that our job is to keep up with everybody else. Why can't you just be glad for somebody? Amen. I've been wanting a new truck for a while. Brother Terry Williams, well, he went out there to hear Casey preach too. We'll talk bad about him. Amen. He got a new Chevrolet truck. Y'all seen it? That white one sitting out here? Woo! Brother Bo back yonder has got that new Chevrolet truck. I went out there and sat in it and cranked it the other day. It's a diesel, man. That thing sounds good. I didn't leave here jealous. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I did. He said, drive it if you want to, preacher. I said, no, then I might leave jealous. Amen. But man, I just rejoicing, man. I thought, boy, he made a statement the first Sunday he drove it. He said, that's the truck I always wanted. Man, that tickled me to death, man. The Lord blessed him, helped him to get that truck. Honest for God, I didn't go home lose no sleep over that. And I sure didn't go home and try to figure out how I could get one. Amen. Amen. Because I would not live past the day I drove it home. My wife's been without a vehicle for nearly a year now. If I bought a new truck, oh boy, howdy, I'd be riding in a grocery cart, I guarantee. Amen. I'd be like the homeless in Atlanta, buddy. That'd be my house and everything right there. My vehicle. Yeah. Anyway, man, we ought to be glad with people. We ought to be tickled to death that God blessed somebody and God helped somebody. Amen. Everything's too much about us. Everything's too much about me. If God blesses somebody when you pray, God, why don't you do that for me? Amen. Man, you're just rejoicing God did that for them. Amen. Amen. I thank God many, many, many times on behalf of somebody else. Lord, thank you for blessing that guy. He needed a blessing. He needed some help. Amen. 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 Barnabas was a man who was glad. But not only that, Barnabas was a man who was good. Verse 24 said he was a good man. He was a good man. But you don't hear that said about a whole lot of people anymore. So-and-so is a good man. You know, it's true, but good people do die and go to hell. But it goes on. We'll talk about that in a second. He is also a godly man. But he was a good man. Man, I'd like to know. Barnabas didn't write this stuff about himself. Or y'all listen, this is what is said by somebody else. I want somebody else to be able to say, Eddie White is a good man. I'm not just a good preacher. I know some preachers that are great, great preachers, but I can't stand to be around them for 5 minutes. Amen. Brother, when they're in the pulpit, boom. But out of the pulpit, they've got the personality of that wood right there. Amen. I was preaching with a guy up in New York several years ago, and I know him and have known him for several years, and he's a jerk. Brilliant, brainiac, but he's a jerk. An absolute jerk. And we're staying with a family. I just told my wife about this the other day. We're staying with a family, and we come in, and I've stayed with this family. My whole family has stayed with this family. And the wife goes out of her way. I mean, every night you come in from church, she's got some of the most, I didn't know this, but one kind of cheese growing up, just yellow cheese, amen. But she got all this expensive cheese and olives and crackers and fruit and just got all this stuff, you know. Me and this other preacher are staying there at her house. He sits down. She sets a plate of fruit in front of him. It's got a big old slice of watermelon on it. He looked at that dear lady, no smile, no nothing. He don't know her from nothing. He said, what do you think I am, lady, some kind of Hamite? She said, sir? He said, do I look like a Hamite to you? She said, I don't understand. I said, shut up. She ain't got a clue what you're talking about. Thank her for the watermelon, you idiot. Amen. He was making a black connotation. He said, what do you think I am, a black guy? That's what he was saying. This poor lady didn't have a clue. We got in the car. He had a vehicle to drive back and forth. I was riding with that family. We got in the car the next morning. They were just real quiet. All of a sudden, the husband said, Brother Eddie, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. How well do you know that guy staying in our house? I said, he's a jerk. He's a jerk. Amen. That lady broke down in tears riding to the service that morning. She said, I just want to be a blessing to God's men, and I didn't want to make a mistake. I said, sis, you didn't do anything wrong. He's a jerk. He's, you know what I'm saying? Do you think that encouraged her? No, man, it didn't encourage her. I ate some cheese that I could smell before I got it to my face. I did, man. I thought I wanted to say this is bad. This is done turned on you right here. Amen. Come to find out, that was the most expensive cheese on the plate. Amen. Amen. Man, I didn't want to offend that lady. Amen. I wanted to be a blessing to her. I wanted her to watch me enjoy her labor. Amen. What am I? Some kind of ham? Come on, man. Barnabas was a glad man, but he was a good man, and he was good to people. The Bible said in James chapter number 4 and verse number 17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's what? Anybody know? It's sin. Man, we ought to do good. We ought to do good. When you get saved, we ought to have a desire in our heart to do good. To do good. Listen, it's not good to gossip on Facebook. That ain't good. You're not doing anybody any good. That's not good. If you're putting something on there that you know is the truth. If you saw Brother Charles come out of Hooters. I'm sure he is in there having prayer with somebody. Amen. And you've seen that with your own eyes. Don't go home and put that on Facebook. It ain't doing nobody no good. And if Janice sees it, it ain't going to do him no good. Amen. Amen. Man, sometimes, man, you just need to keep your mouth shut. Amen. My granny used to say, if you can't say nothing good, don't say nothing at all. Amen. I pray sometimes some of y'all get lockjaw. Amen. I remember, I'll tell this story. I got to give you the rest of this right quick and we'll go. I remember one time I was a kid in church. We had a deacon by the name of Lincoln Cole. Did you ever remember Lincoln Cole? One of the godliest men I ever knew. Glenda remembers Lincoln. Lincoln Cole. And there was another man in the church, and I don't remember his name. But man, it never failed. If the, you know what we're talking about when we say the meeting got on. It was one of them nights the meeting got on. People were testifying. People wouldn't even know preaching, you know, people in the altar. But it never failed if the meeting got on like that and was kind of getting out of the bank. It's one old man that'd stand up and testify and kill the whole thing. I mean, everybody's a shouting, praising God, and he'd get up, wah, 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 just on and on. And man, we're sitting in the pew behind Brother Lincoln Cole and his wife, Mildred Cole, that was her name, I believe, and Deanie was their daughter. He slipped down in the pew. I saw him. That guy stood up to testify, and I heard that this was one of the godliest men I ever knew. And he started praying, and I went, wow. He started praying. This was his prayer. God, shut him up if you have to kill him. God, choke him out. And God is my witness. That old guy that got up to testify went, and Mildred Lincoln's wife, he's still in the floor playing, praying. And Mildred reached down and beat him on the back. She said, dear God, Lincoln, you've killed him. Amen. I pray that sometime. God, shut him up. Shut them up. They're doing more harm than good. Amen. I don't want to do more harm than good. I want my mouth, my speech, I want it to carry a good report among people. Amen. I do business in this town. I want to be good to these people. I don't throw fits at the stinking restaurant. I used to. I don't anymore. Ain't nothing make me madder than go to the Waffle House and ain't no cheese in my egg. Ooh, when I order cheese eggs, amen. And then you complain and they just lay a piece of cheese on top of it. Mm-mm. Nope, 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 nope. But listen, I don't complain, man. I don't complain. You know why? Because I'll go in, 9 times out of 10, somebody will say, hey, you're a pastor at Happy Valley, aren't you? Amen. Amen. Hey, I want to have a good report. Amen. If somebody asks one of these cops in town, hey, do you know Eddie White? I want his answer to be a good thing. Yeah, he's not. I know him because I've arrested him several times. Amen. Amen. I want to have a good report in this town. Hey, listen, he was a good man. But verse 24 goes on to say, what? This will tell you what made him a good man. The Bible said he was a godly man. Amen. He was a godly man. Lord, give us godly men and women. And to be godly, you've got to have a heart for God. You've got to want God and have a desire for God in your life. Listen, if we want to make a difference and we want to make an encouragement or be an encouragement, it'll help us if we're good. And it'll help us if we're godly. But listen, let's turn that thing around. Godliness will make you good. Amen. It'll make you honest. Godliness will help you keep that mouth shut. Amen. Well, what makes me godly? Read that Bible. Read that Bible. The more that is God right there. That's God in print. He said, I am the Word, John chapter number 1. Is that right? That's God in print right there. The more of God I can get in me, the more of God's going to come out of me. Amen. I listen to the way some people talk, and I know they never read their Bible. Because if they did, they wouldn't talk like that. Amen. You read that Bible enough, it'll stop that gossiping. Amen. You know what it'll do? Because it's cleaning you from the inside out. And it'll make you more like the God you're reading about. Amen. Amen. He was a godly man. Boy, God, help us to be godly men. To be godly men. I mean, boy, for a long time after I got saved, it was enough just to know that I'm saved. But boy, I found out there's more to it. I need to grow. Paul talking to the church at, it'll hit me in a second. He told them he said, till Christ be formed in you. Who was that? Was it in Galatians? I think it was. He said, till Christ be formed in you. Man, we ought to be Christ being formed in us. As we live, we ought to be becoming more and more and more and more. You'll never be just like him. You'll never be just like him this side of heaven. But boy, we ought to be becoming more and more like him. Amen. Years ago, people had them little rubber band bracelets. And listen, I don't mind girls wearing them, but boys, come on. Amen. I ain't got nothing to do with the message, but I just can't stand to see a boy wearing jewelry. I was at the parts store the other day, and there's a grown man, older than me, had his shirt unbuttoned down to about right there and had a big gold chain around his neck. I thought, man, that just looks... Anyway. Lost my whole train of thought, amen. That's what I get, amen. Barnabas was a godly man. That's what we're talking about, right? Amen. Oh, the bracelets. There we go. WWJD. Y'all remember that? What would Jesus do? Half the people wearing them bracelets ain't got a clue. Them people wearing them, what would Jesus do in this situation or that situation? If you ain't read nothing about Jesus or studied the life of Christ, you ain't got a clue what he'd do. Amen. You ain't got a clue. 9 times out of 10, he wouldn't be acting like you acting. He wouldn't be reacting like you reacting. Amen. What would Jesus do? That's not a bad thing to ask yourself when your boss is on your case. Amen. Then you go to lunch with your co-workers. What would Jesus say about the boss? Well, really, what would he? Would Jesus sit down at McDonald's and say, that dirty, rotten rascal? One of these days, boy, I'm going to tell him to shove it. I'm going to bust him in the mouth, blah, blah, blah. I don't think Jesus talked like that. Amen. Amen. Do y'all? Amen. If somebody else said something about the boss, I got an idea what Jesus would say. Well, we'll pray for him. Amen. 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 My boss at the Board of Education years ago, he and I got along really, really well. He come in one morning, we had a meeting. He chewed everybody out. We always said if his lip was quivering, we was in trouble. You remember that, Clint? And buddy, he did. He let them have it. I mean, it was bad. It was really bad. About 5 minutes later, I got a call to go to his office. I thought, oh, man, I got to go to the boss's office after this. What he's already done in public, I've got to go get it in private. This ain't good. I'm already thinking about where I can go to work tomorrow. Amen. I walked in the office, he said, have a seat. I sat down, he looked at me and that lip started quivering. I thought, uh-oh. But boy, then them eyes started leaking. Tears run down his face. He said, I just messed up, didn't I, preacher? I said, you really want to know? He said, yeah. I said, you know you did. I said, you was a jerk. I said, you owe them men an apology. He asked, amen. You know what he said? He said, would you pray with me? I said, I sure will. Amen. I sure will. I said, God, touch my boss's nasty mouth. I didn't know. But I sure did. I had prayer with him. Man, when we talk out of line, it ought to bother us. And if we're godly, it will bother us. Listen, that mouth is going to get the best of you. I don't care who you are. You're going to say something you shouldn't. Amen. I do it preaching all the time. I'll be driving home going, oh, man, why did I say that? It's too late now, man. It's out there and gone. Amen. Especially when we're on the radio on Sunday morning. Woo. Brother Freddie helps me out there real good. I'll catch his eye and he'll go, we're on the radio. We're on the radio. Tell me after I'm done, amen. He's trying to stop me in mid-sentence there, you know. Amen. Appreciate the help, brother. Amen. But sometimes that mouth's going to get the best of you. The problem is when that mouth gets the best of you and it don't bother you. I worry about how some Christians can talk and talk about one another, talk about the church, and then claim they're saved. I worry about some of these so-called split churches where this whole half got mad at this whole half and they hate that other bunch's guts. So what do? Go start another church.
Amen.
Boy, it got quiet.
Yes, sir.
How can God bless that?
Amen.
When ain't nothing but a bunch of hate.
That's good.
I've been through two of them. Biggest split I ever saw was right after me and my wife ever got saved. And you know what? You'd have to, if you talked to some of that bunch that left, you had to do it in secret. Don't let nobody that's still at the church know you love some of that crowd that left. Well, it got quiet, didn't it? Hey, man, that stuff's wicked, man. How they can do that stuff and claim to be right with God is beyond me. Amen. Amen. My home church has split again since I left. And I love people on both sides of the story.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I don't care who don't like it. I still fellowship with both sides.
Amen.
Amen. But anyway, I don't see how some people claim to be saved and get away with the junk they say. I don't see how. Amen.
Amen. Right.
I say something to hurt you, like spitefully. Now, if the preaching rubs you wrong, so be it. You probably needed it.
Amen.
Amen. If you get your little toes stepped on, you probably needed your little toes stepped on.
Yes, sir.
Usually when preaching rubs you the wrong way, it was designed to.
That's right.
Amen. And we don't ever do it purposely. It just comes out. God knows what he's doing.
Right.
Amen. But if I say something purposely to hurt you, I won't be able to sleep. It eats me up.
Amen.
If I lose my temper,
amen.
And I haven't in a long time, but if I lose my temper, oh,
amen.
It tears me up.
Right.
Kills me. If I bite one of my kids' heads off, I have to apologize. Say, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I did. Levi called me on the phone one night, and I was asleep. He woke me up, and asked me, I don't even remember what the phone call was about. I bit his head off. Man, I can go back to sleep. Amen. What I'm saying is, it ought to bother you. Somebody says, well, so-and-so don't have a conscience. It ain't about conscience. It's about your heart. It's about whether or not you're godly or not. Amen?
Amen.
He was a godly man. He was a good man. The Bible said he was filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, where it is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. We ought to be Spirit-filled. We ought to pray for the Holy Spirit to fill us. Amen. Let me say it again. We ought to pray for the Holy Spirit to fill us. The charismatic does not have a monopoly on the Holy Ghost. Amen. I still like old-fashioned Holy Ghost singing, old-fashioned Holy Ghost preaching. That is not a charismatic term. That is a Bible term. Amen. I like Spirit-filled worship. Amen. I've been to churches that's got more talent, man, than you can shake a stick at. I'm talking about big-time talent. Dry as cracker juice. Dead. Don't even make you want to smile. You just sit there. Like the rest of the crowd. And the only thing you think is, she can sing. Y'all all right? I want some Spirit-filled singing. I believe that's what changes people's hearts. I'm going to tell you, old William, Levi's neighbor, Don't tell him how many times I talked about him tonight. He come in here and he sat down about right there where Levi's at, or Tommy and Sheila. He was right in there somewhere. I'm watching him the whole time. I know who he is. I knew his lifestyle. Levi talked about it. Not bad, but just told me about his neighbor. Told me he's coming to church. Pray for him. It wasn't my preaching that tore him up. It started with the choir.
Amen.
Man, they started singing. Man, you can't tell me the guy heard the song over and over. Uh-uh. No, that's the first time he'd ever heard it. And I don't even know what they were singing. But boy, the Lord started moving in on him. You know what that was? That's the Spirit of God. Amen. I'll take spirit filled over talent any day of the week. Amen. I'll say it again. I'll take spirit filled over talent. We ought to pray, God, fill us with your spirit. Not God, help me to stay on key. That's an afterthought. Let's get spirit filled first. Amen. How many of you remember the Hendersons? It ain't talent. It ain't fashion. Them women come to church in a duster and house shoes. Step up and start singing A Speck of Dirt. Woo! I'm about shout, wanting thing, me stinking about it. Sister Patsy, throw that head back. You can see that little thing wiggling in the back of her throat. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. Woo, sunshine. I'll take that any day. I'll take that any day. Amen. He was a good man. He was a godly man. He was filled with the Spirit. And the Bible said he is full of faith. He is full of faith. And we want to be an encouragement. We're going to have to carry some of these characteristics about us. Amen. Amen. Barnabas was a good man. He was a godly man. He was filled with the Spirit. He was full of faith. And let me give you this one. I think I'm about done. Barnabas was a giving man. In Acts chapter number 4, he sold a piece of ground that he owned. He sold some land and donated some money. He was a giving man. That's encouraging when people are giving people. Amen. You know who it seems like give the most around here? Those that have the least. Amen. Brother Anthony, that jerk, did you get a job, man? I saw you got a company vehicle out there. Oh, you just getting to drive it? That's cool. Amen. Do not get on the roof. Oh, Brother Anthony, man, fell off our roof, was in a coma for months. Didn't know if he'd live or die. Didn't know if he's going to be brain dead forever. Well, he... Never mind. Man, he'd been out of work, sold everything that he had just to keep from losing his house. We've helped him every which way we could. And, man, he got his disability started. That sucker walks up here one Sunday, he probably don't want me to tell this, put money in my hand. I said, you don't do this. I said, you put this back in your pocket. I mean, we had a fight right here before I had to preach. I said, I'm going to knock you in your head. You're going to be back down there with life support. Amen. Put this in you. He said, no, the Lord told me to do that. What do you do, man? Well, thank God for people like that. Amen. Now, if Brother Jason, who's loaded, every other phone call, he calls me, oh, you ain't going to believe how much money I'm going to make on that. Listen, if you're not going to tithe, don't tell your pastor how much you're making, amen? Now, Brother Jason comes up and gives me $100, and you know what? He's a giving person, too. I'm just poking at him. Brother Jason, Brother Pastor Appreciation Day, Brother Jason gave me a check, man. I looked at it and I thought, wow, man, you didn't have to do that. Amen. And that was special to me. That was a blessing. And please don't take what I'm about to say wrong. But that coming from Brother Anthony, whew, that tore me up.
Amen.
Brother Jason, who had the money to give, that blessed my heart. Brother Anthony, man, that... Does that make sense what I'm saying? I hope that didn't come out wrong. Because I'm like, Lord, I know he didn't have that. Man, we've been buying the guy groceries and he comes give me money. People notice. People notice. Amen. I don't mind taking up love offerings around here. I don't mind that one bit. But sometimes I think it ought to be personal. Amen. When Brother Carlos and Miss Barbara's house burnt down, on a Wednesday night, I had Brother Carlos and Miss Barbara come sit down right there on the front pew. I said, if you want to help them, bring it to them. I wanted them to know. They brought him over $1,500 sitting right there that night. Big old tears running down his face.
Amen.
Amen. I'm telling you, it's encouraging when you're a giving person. When you'll give of yourself, you'll give of your time, your talent, your tithes, your money, whatever God's given you, if you're ready to share that with other people. Man, I've been sharing my stuff with people who I didn't know I was sharing it with. Yeah. Still discovering stuff missing. Amen. Yeah, we got robbed. Amen. Somebody needed my guns and my leaf blower, I guess. Amen. Oh, yeah. But anyway, it'd be a blessing to you. Ain't nothing better than taking something God's given you and sharing that with somebody else. That is the coolest thing in the world. Amen. We had some people in our church struggle for a long time, and I'm done. I'm fitting to quit. They struggled for a long time. And as time and time again, I took money, and I ain't bragging, out of my pocket and helped pay a bill. And then they got some money. They come to me and said, how much did we owe you? I said, you don't owe me nothing. It wasn't a loan. I don't make loans.
Amen.
I give money. Do not come see me tonight. I'm broke. Amen. If I give my son money, it's not a loan.
Amen.
It's a gift.
Amen.
Amen. And boy, I tell you what, I find great joy in doing that. Amen. The Bible said in Acts chapter number 4 and verse number 36, talking about Barnabas, said in Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite in the country of Cyprus. Next verse 37 said, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 7, the Bible said, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Amen. Encouragement makes a difference. Let me give you this. I'm done. I'll just hit it right quick. We talked about the place of encouragement, the person of encouragement. I want you to look at the product of encouragement. Verse number 25, he helped a great missionary get his start.
Amen.
He helped a great missionary get his start. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? Man, I'm going to tell you something. Man, we're leaving next Monday, going out to Colorado, me and Levi and Angie and Cora and little Mason. We're going to go out there and spend a few days with Caleb. Man, I am so excited about that. Amen. I tell you, we didn't have a whole lot of monetary, but we did help. We did help get that work start out there. Amen. And we'll continue to help it. Hey, y'all pray for them. They're going to look at another building that could be a really good deal for the church. We're going to see it while we're there next week. But, man, I'm telling you, when we're encouraging, we help other works to start.
Amen.
We help other works to continue. We help other works to grow. Amen. The church I was in, Brother Trapani, down in Florida last week, I texted because I had to leave on Friday, and Brother McGee, he preached for him Friday night. I just texted him to ask him how the meeting went. He said, Brother, it was great. Thank you so much for coming. I texted him back, said, thank you so much for having me. And he texted me back, said, are you kidding? He said, people look forward to this every year. He said, you are such an encouragement to our church. And I thought, hallelujah, man. Hallelujah, bro. That's what I want to be. I want to help my ministry, but I want to help somebody else's too. Amen? Amen. Encouragement. Being an encouragement makes a difference. Let me ask you a question. We're going to come pray. Who have you encouraged lately? Who have you personally tried to encourage lately? Who have you, just personally, eyeball to eyeball, said, hey, I appreciate you. I appreciate you. You're a blessing in that choir. Todd, I appreciate that piano playing.
Amen.
Amen. I appreciate that special singing. Levi, I appreciate them songs you wrote. Amen. I appreciate that. Amen. Encourage somebody, your Sunday school teacher. Amen. Brother Bob come in here Sunday, told me, he said, man, since I've been in Brother Freddie's class, I lost how much?
50-something
pounds. I said, was that a compliment or is Brother Freddie chewing it off of you? Amen. He said, it's just good teaching, I guess. Amen. Hey, we ought to encourage our Sunday school teacher, our bus workers. Amen. I try to encourage our bus workers all the time and let them know I appreciate them. Amen. Encouragement makes a difference. Let's stand to our feet. We'll come pray.
Mm-hmm. Prayer sheets are down here on the table. Pick you one up tonight. Spend some time praying together. You get done praying, you're dismissed.